Welcome back to Being Heard. As usual, this is Boston, your host. And I was editing the last episode in which we discussed Valentine's Day, holidays being commercialized, and communication. And during that, I had made a comment along the lines of fears. And it got me thinking, what is your biggest fear? Spiders? Snakes? Drowning? Dying? What about being hurt again in a relationship? Disappointment? Wasting time on a relationship? Maybe losing a loved one or a pet? What is your biggest fear? And you might have a couple of them. Mine, spiders, hands down. If I find a big enough spider in my house, I'm gonna grab a can of gasoline, light a match, and watch it burn. I don't do spiders. Some of you, it may be getting hurt. That's another one for me. Getting into a relationship with the idea that it could possibly hurt me down the line is tough. Yet for some reason, we still take that risk. So what is your biggest fear? Do me a favor, send me an email, post it in the comments, let me know. I'm curious to see what the majority is. What do you think causes fear? Is it a learned emotion? Is it something that's been ingrained in us? I mean, those of us who have faith have to believe everything happens for a reason. God didn't give us fear. It's a learned emotion. So when you have a fear of being hurt or losing a loved one, are you truly afraid of that? Or are you afraid of what that means moving forward? Being without a spouse, not sure how to pay the bills, what do you do if something breaks down? If you're afraid of drowning, is it a fear that you've had from a child when you almost drowned? And what would it take for you to heal from those fears? Because all a fear really is unsure of the future. You're unsure if you're going to get hurt. You're unsure if you're going to see a spider and may not know how to react. So is there any way to prepare for that? Or sometimes it may just take healing for that. And in some cases, people run, work out, engulf themselves in work, seek counsel or counseling. Some people paint. Others bake. What do you do? What do you resort to when you're feeling down and out? And why? Why do you resort to those? Yeah, it makes you feel good. It gives you that feeling of, I've completed something. It gives endorphins. It makes you feel good about where you are, and maybe in a way helps you forget the way that you were feeling. But what about healing? Does running, baking, painting really help? Seeking counsel or counseling could, but, and I'm not saying that running or painting doesn't help, because there's a lot of people who call it therapeutic. But is that what you're using it for? Are you trying to heal, or are you using it like a bandage to cope? Now, coping, that's a little bit different than healing. I feel like coping would be more like drinking, drugs, gossiping about an issue, sex or porn, and solitude. Coping for me is more of a negative connotation, and it causes things to inhibit your sense of fear. It's almost like you want to drown it out. You want to hide it. Or that you're putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. Where healing is putting a Band-Aid on a paper cut. You're actually doing something. You're making it easier to deal with these fears. And in regards to fear of emotional things, like disappointment, failure, being hurt by a spouse or a loved one, you can forgive them. And by them, I mean the people in your past. One of the biggest things is people who get into a relationship with the fear of being hurt has not forgiven those in their past. The person you're about to be in a relationship is no one from your past. It's not Jessica, it's not Johnny, it's not Brad, it's not Brenda, it's none of the people that you date or who hurt you in the past. They are someone new, and they do not deserve to be held to that standard before they're even showing you their true colors. What if you have a really good guy or woman who's being held to a standard that they're not even aware of? They do something wrong, or they do something that triggers you, and you unleash all the pain that you have from all your exes and just unleash it on them without them even being aware that they did something wrong. And who knows? Now you're feeding one of their fears unnecessarily. So now you guys are kind of going back and forth like tennis, triggering one another instead of just communicating. And there is typically nothing wrong with being in a relationship if you're not truly healed. Because sometimes you need to test whether or not you're healed. And sometimes that it can only be done with someone else. Now, I'm not saying break up with one person and jump right back into a relationship because that's the right thing to do. You need to take some time and heal, but you need to forgive yourself and them. When you're healing, you need to give yourself permission to heal. Allow yourself to feel all the feelings that you want to feel. Don't just push them deep or bottle them up. When you bottle up emotions and feel like, ah, it's fine, I don't need to deal with these, that just feeds fear. Because moving forward, all you're going to do is wonder when is the next time it's going to happen. Or something minor happens and you react as if it was a major incident. What is so wrong with healing? Why do people feel you need to be alone to heal? I'm not saying you don't, but sometimes being with someone helps you heal. Having that support system helps you heal. Now, I'm not claiming to be any expert, as I myself am still healing. I still have demons that I'm fighting, so to speak. To be honest with you, I don't really like who I see in the mirror. We agree to coexist, so to speak. But for the longest time, the man in the mirror, the person that I saw looking back at me, wasn't who I saw myself as, who I heard myself as. When you hear someone talk on a podcast or on the radio, you get a visual in your head about what they may look like. And then if you've ever Googled them or looked up what they look like or met them in person, let's be honest, there's a moment where you're like, that's not what I expected. Or maybe the exact opposite. Maybe you're like, that's exactly what I thought they looked like. Unfortunately, when I looked at myself in the mirror, it was the first one. It is not what I expected to be looking back at me. And I had such a problem with accepting that, to the point where I wouldn't even look at myself when I brushed my teeth. When I brushed my hair, I would focus on my hair and not look at myself. Now, I'm not saying that I would break mirrors or would do anything negative. I just had that sense of defeat or that sinking feeling inside that was just like, this isn't you. And it took some healing. It took some accepting and it took some soul searching. And I decided to start working on things that would make me feel more like myself. And again, you may not agree with any of this. You might be sitting there being like, what is he talking about? And that's fine. But some of you can relate. And what I want you to understand is, don't discourage. Take it day by day and just start doing anything that you can think of to be more like yourself. Start working out. Start eating better. For me, it was a visual. I didn't like how big I was. I didn't like the way that I was a people pleaser and how I felt when I got home. I didn't like the way my hair was, so I changed it. I grew a beard, so that might help with the visual of what I look like. That, to me, was healing. I had to accept who I was, who I am, and who I wanted to be, and then work to become the man that I am. I am still a work in progress. There are still days when I look in the mirror and kind of have a little bit of a moment. But then I understand that I'm working on myself. And I always look back to where I was that day or those days where I hated what was looking back at me. So that's why I'm asking you, what do you do to heal? Because a lot of you, I'm sure, gave me a knee-jerk reaction. The point of this podcast is also to make you dig deep. Take this 15, 20 minutes, however long these podcasts end up being, and do a deep dive with me. I want to be that safe space for you to be able to dig deep. And if that means that you need to listen to me when no one else is around, by all means, go for it. I may not be for everybody, but like I've said before, I'm just trying to reach a person, two people, 10 people, however many people that I can reach with what I have to talk about. Which is also why I'd be more than happy to have you guys comment or email me with ideas and feedback and just any sort of communication that you guys are willing to give me to help this podcast grow. I appreciate every listener that I have thus far, if anybody is listening, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate you guys. I'm doing this as a way of healing. I know what it's like to not be heard, so I don't really want anyone else to feel that way. Now, can I make everyone feel heard? No. I can only help those who want to be helped, who really want to be heard. And I may not actually hear what it is that you want to say. But I'm hoping that even listening to these podcasts can help you guys grow and heal and communicate and just be better people. I want to motivate and I want to do whatever I can to reach people and help them get through the day, get through the week, help out in any way that I can. So please, do not hesitate to reach out with emails, comments, and questions. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking around. We'll see you again on the next podcast. This is Boston from Audience of One. Have a good one.